Mary's Pizza Shack. Even the commercials are homemade.
Charles here, inviting you to enjoy Mary's new specials. We're cooking up some great new things for you to enjoy. Lemon Shrimp Linguine. It's a fresh take on shrimp scampi with a creamy white wine and lemon sauce with fresh herbs on a bed of linguine. Also, we brought some spice into the shack. Pizza a la sriracha. Chicken with sriracha sauce and ranch, white cheddar, pineapple, green and crispy red onions. It's pizza with a little kick. Wraps are back also. We have the buffalo chicken, chicken Caesar wrap, or the turkey wrap. How about the shrimp bruschetta for an appetizer? Toasted slices, sourdough topped with shrimp and a garlic, lemon, and creamy white wine sauce, then topped with more garlic, parmesan, and parsley. Everything here at Mary's Pizza Shack is made from scratch from my grandmother's recipes. Come on in and enjoy.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, State of Jefferson. Hope everybody's having themselves a good morning. You're here with the Bear and our friend Wynn Carpenter. The Mouse is out shooting at the Yankees again today down at Dog Island in Red Bluff. If you guys have never been to a Civil War reenactment, it is a good chance to go and see one today. It's Dog Island in Red Bluff. I believe the battle is at noon today. But go down early and get a chance to go through the camps and take a look at it. It is. It's a great thing.
Sick him, Kayla.
Yeah, she'll get him. yes, she'll actually be shooting at Mark Baer today. I believe he'll be Union Cavalry and riding down those dirty Johnny Rebs and having a good time doing it. It's quite a sight to see.
Cool.
So, we kind of wanted to dive in. We've been wanting to do for a while as talk about some of the positive things for the state of Jefferson and, you know, some of the things that the state of Jefferson could be, some of the things that we have forward to look that we have to look forward to. And, you know, the last few shows, we've just been hit with things by California that we've felt that we've had to bring up and discuss. And we finally have a chance to talk about what could the state of Jefferson be. So, I don't know. What's some of your ideas? What does the state of Jefferson mean to you?
Safety and security.
Safety and security?
Yeah. We could have control of our borders.
Yeah.
All the way around.
We could. Well, you know, there's economic freedom, economic safety.
Mm-hmm.
In the state of California, I would not say that I feel economically safe as a small business owner.
Oh, not at all. It's a huge Titanic.
It is.
And it's blown out all down one side of it. So it's going down. It's just a matter of timing.
Yeah, it's a question of how is the state of California going to impede me from doing business? How much more are they going to take away? How much more is it going to cost me to do business in the state?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so and then once you get in business, how much more are they going to keep on taking?
Exactly. And how much are they going to keep taking away from my customers that have less to give me?
Right.
You know, so I would say that as a business owner in Jefferson currently, there's not a lot of economic safety. And we could create a state that would ensure that the safety of business and actually work with business to promote it. I mean,
right.
Imagine that, a friendly government helping to actually promote business.
That'd be awesome.
You know?
Well, it trickles down all the way.
It does.
I mean, get your businesses up and running. They pay their employees. The employees have money to spend. It comes out into the community where the stores, whatever they may be,
yeah,
make their sales, you know, tax revenue comes in. It's just a win-win all the way around. It's not rocket science.
No, it's not. And one of our detractors, one of the people that oppose us, we were at a town hall and they said, oh, well, trickle down is a nonsense theory. It was made up by Ronald Reagan. It doesn't exist. And I'm just, again, I'm sitting there dumbfounded. It's basic economics.
Right.
You know, economics starts with throwing a stone in the pond. And that stone is that initial capital investment by somebody to do something. and then the ripples spread.
Right.
It's whatever metaphor you want to use, the concept is the same. And what we're experiencing now is trickle-down tyranny.
Yeah, we're enjoying every bit of it so far.
Well, we are. You know, one of my personal pet peeves is carb and harping on carb, and that's absolutely trickle-down tyranny. You know, with all the cap and trade that's going on, and they say, oh, well, it doesn't affect the average citizen because we're going after the fuel producers and the fuel refiners. And, well, who do they pass that cost on to? Who does it trickle down to?
It's just doublespeak.
Yeah.
All they're doing is just saying one thing and just doing another, and they're not denying it.
No,
they're not denying it, so they can always be on the record and say, hey, I never said I didn't say it, but they're not denying it. They're saying, no, it only affects this branch, whereas it doesn't affect you guys. Well, it does affect you guys.
It does. It
trickles all the way around.
Yeah, it affects everything.
Yes.
So, you know, and like I said, one of my pet peeves is CARB. In the state of Jefferson, is there the need for an air resource board to guarantee that we have clean air?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so we had clean air before CARB existed.
Mm-hmm.
We have clean air now that CARB does exist.
Mm-hmm.
So we could do without CARB and still have clean air.
Correct.
Okay. Other things that we don't need. Because one of our big peeves is the environmental quote-unquote protections that have been put in place. Would you say, you've grown up here, lived here your whole life like I have, would you say that we were better off before we started protecting everything or after?
Hands down before.
Okay. Did we experience catastrophic wildfires at the rate that we do now?
Absolutely not.
No. Okay. And we had a timber economy to go along with that.
Yep. I grew up under that.
Yeah. So we had a healthy people because we had a job and an economy, and we actually had healthier forests.
Right.
So it was a win-win. Okay. So in the state of Jefferson, we could go back to that model.
Right.
Where we are putting people above the poverty level so that our rate of healthiness as a people goes up. And we're actually helping to protect and restore the environment.
And when you do that, people are vested in it.
They are.
They are vested in it. They want to make sure things keep on growing and prosper because they have skin in the game.
They
have skin in the game, and that's what it's all about. You know, if you don't have skin in the game, then you really don't give a hoot.
Yeah.
And once you do, by God, nobody's going to mess with it. And for people that live in this area, don't mess with them.
That is. And you bring up a good point, because one of the things that we do get hit on is, oh, you just want to cut down all the trees. Why would we want to do that? We live here.
Those are deniers. People that are saying garbage like that, if they just listen to what they just said and realize how foolish that sounded. You know, like we're gonna get rid of the water, we're gonna get rid of the trees, we're gonna do all this other stuff. It's like, why on earth would we do that?
No. We live here. Our way of life, our ability to exist, our children's ability to exist, are basically our grandchildren's inheritance, are those forests.
Right.
You know, that's our niche in the grand scheme, in the circle of life, is, you know, we maintain our resources, whether that be mining or timber or fishing. And I believe by a natural state of affairs, people want to do it the cleanest, most efficient way they can, because I believe people by nature are good.
I agree.
And I find that a lot of our opposition thinks by nature everyone is evil.
Right.
And I think that's where we hit a fundamental difference is – I absolutely recognize evil and bad in the world, but I think fundamentally your largest percentage of people are good at heart and want to do the right thing when they can afford to.
Right. And when they have the power to do it.
They do.
You know, if they're vested in, like I said, having skin in the game, they're going to do the right thing because they know it's going to affect them, their kids, and on down the line, or their neighbors, you know, whomever. It's going to affect everyone they're in contact with.
Absolutely. And that's just common sense and practicality of being on the ground and being raised in a rural lifestyle is I'm trying to think of how to say it without being rude, but I think growing up in the rural area, we have an independence and just an old fashioned horse sense that's lacking for a lot of urban people.
Agreed.
And that's nothing against them. you know, they've grown up with a sense of street smarts that I don't have.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing. I would rather have horse sense over street smarts, but they have adapted and developed and grown up in an ability in accordance to their environment.
Right. Right.
Just like we have. Yeah. And one of the things that we point out is it would be very foolish for we rural folks to try and tell the urban people how to manage their affairs.
Quite the opposite of what's going on now in California.
Exactly. So in the state of Jefferson, we would have urban people that understand urban areas managing that, mm-hmm. and rural people that understand the rural managing that. Because that's one of the things that we could do, too, is return to local government.
Needed. Desperately needed.
Desperately, desperately needed. We could shed the bureaucracy that we deal with.
Right.
One of the biggest things that I've found in California that drives me nuts, too, is you even talk to the bureaucrats, the cogs in the machine, and the guys at the front lines of it are even sitting there shaking their heads going, this is nonsense.
And they know that they don't have any power or control or input on what's going on.
Yeah.
So where is it all coming from?
So we could restore that common sense to functions in Jefferson, restore that to government, because the guy on the ground that is assessing the situation and looking at it not only has the ability to make a good decision, but he would have the power and the authority to go, hey, you know what, in this case, this doesn't apply. It doesn't work right. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to do something else instead of this cookie cutter, one size fits all, and who cares who it hurts.
Yeah.
You know? We better slip ourselves off to our first break here. But when we get back, I really kind of want to push some of the economic ideas that I've heard all kinds of ideas. Some could work, some wouldn't. But what I think is great is listening to people start to dream about what could be. Again, instead of the nightmare of what is, they're starting to dream and think in a different direction.
There we go.
Junk science that wouldn't even meet the standards of a high school science fair. California Air Resources Board and the Environmental Protection Agency have written regulations that are devastating the California economy. They are costing people their jobs, their homes, their livelihoods, and their families. This must be stopped. Help us continue the fight against CARB. Go to standandfightclubinc.com now and contribute to keep the fight going.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas. I've been in practice for 10 years as owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. Not only do we have fun seeing entire families and athletes, but we see the hard workers of this town. We love our occupational athletes. Work better, feel better, reduce injury, prevent chronic disease, boost metabolism, increase energy and productivity, live a healthier and pain-free life with my new exercise app for your phone and computer. Check us out on Facebook at HealthWise Chiropractic. For a free one-month trial, use Dr. Maria 1. We love our occupational athletes at HealthWise Chiropractic.
Safari Club International, the leader in protecting the freedom to hunt and promoting wildlife conservation worldwide. On Saturday, May 2nd, join the Reading chapter for their 21st annual banquet to raise funds so the vital work of protecting our hunting heritage and educating youth can continue. Beginning at 5 p.m. at the Wind River Event Center, join a fun-packed evening with games, auctions, drawings, lots of guns, and your choice of a tri-tip or chicken dinner. Safari Club International of Reading is currently planning hunts regionally and for African game, and you can find out about these and all the activities of SCI and have a great time Saturday, May 2nd. For tickets, visit scireading.org or call 530-524-3252. That number again, 524-3252. The 21st annual fundraising banquet for the Reading Regional Chapter of Safari Club International. Tickets, 524-3252.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
It's almost like Billy Joel was trying to warn us way back when.
Yeah.
Who knew? Billy Joel was a prophet. So we are. We're here, and we're discussing possibilities. What could Jefferson be? You know, what could Jefferson not be without the state of California and the ability to dictate our own affairs? And one of the things that I wanted to push was economics. We've already touched on timber a little bit. Okay. And one of the things that is commonly left out when discussing the timber industry is a fundamental misunderstanding. The big trees are the old trees. They're the trees that are dead on the inside. Just the few outer rings on the outside are alive. That are about to fall down and become fuel for a catastrophic wildfire. Okay. And one of the things that doesn't get mentioned is water sequestration. That is, our timber inventories become overstocked, and we allow the bigger trees to continue to grow under the guise of old growth, and we take the smaller, healthier trees. We are allowing these large, old, dead trees, basically, to suck up the water out of the watershed. It's part of our missing water in California, despite the lack of rain, which everybody's running around global climate change, and you look at the history of California. Drought is a historic thing for California. It happens.
We're a Mediterranean climate. That's what happens.
There you go. And when the, but another thing that somebody brought up and was thinking about is why could water not be one of our biggest industries up here in Jefferson? Is there any reason that we could not treat water as the natural renewable resource that it is and make money off of it?
We could, as long as we have control and manage it properly.
Okay. And one of the things that would entail would be increasing water storage.
Correct.
I'm personally of the opinion that we ought to start building reservoirs and probably not stop.
Yeah.
We have a lot of land that's possible for. We have a lot of mountain valleys that would make fantastic lakes and reservoirs. And let's increase the water storage.
Absolutely.
Rather than people being terrified that we're going to cut off what little amount we have from Southern California, let's take it upon ourselves to be the responsible party and increase our water storage so we have plenty for us, we have plenty for Southern California, and maybe we could even start shipping some into Nevada and Arizona where they need it.
There you go.
And like good capitalists, figure out a way to make some money off of it.
Well, then you know, people will follow. I mean, once you start doing something like this and they see that it's actually working, mm-hmm. other areas will start doing the same thing.
They would. We could be the guiding light, the torch in the dark to get everybody through the mine. And what kind of an economy do you think that would create?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, you're talking workers to build the mines, engineers to check everything out, dump trucks to move gravel and cement and nonstop.
Nonstop, yeah.
Nonstop. That could probably employ a large part of the people that we have here. One industry.
And those water reservoirs, if you know, depending on how they're built, their size, capacity, and so forth, some of them could be recreational.
Absolutely.
If not most all of them. Most, in one capacity or another.
Yeah, pick a lake.
Yeah, pick a lake.
I mean, we're kind of there now, but it's a thought, and it's the kind of the out of the box thinking that has no chance of existing under the California bureaucracy. We barely have the ability to function inside the box.
Right.
Getting outside of the box, forget it. Why could the state of Jefferson not be leading in green industry?
I absolutely could.
You know, we have a place here that would be perfect to test your green technologies. We live in a green state. Mm-hmm. Test your technology here and see if it really is form and function usable.
Right.
One of the things that...
And it can be fabricated here.
Yeah.
Hello.
Right on the ground. Because yeah. we have the minerals and we have the resources. We have everything that you need to manufacture it here. Mm-hmm. And why not have the ability to manufacture it clean? Clean and green. See, my thing is like most people want to do the right thing, okay, when they can afford to, okay? But when the green option works half as well at four times the price,
yeah,
it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So, one of the things that I was looking at and I think is a very exciting thing, have you seen these new solar road rays that the couple in Wisconsin have come up with?
I saw an advertisement on the internet, just a little blurb on it.
They actually work. They collect a huge amount of energy because they are in use all the time. Mm-hmm. They are form functional. They're safe to drive. I mean, they've covered all other bases of what a good product should carry. The only problem is the initial infrastructure cost of implementing them. Basically, you've got to go and resurface every road, and you've got to run parallel tunnels with them because they hook directly into a power line that'll go to a power station somewhere or anything like that. So there is a massive infrastructure cost. Okay, but it's the same thing as like buying an efficient washer. Okay, they're expensive. Your clothes washer is expensive, but on the long term line,
it pays off.
It actually pays for itself.
Yeah.
Again, say the state of Jefferson was the first one to install these solar roadways.
We could do it on the mountain passes where they get icy and snowy.
That's right.
And then guess what? The truckers can keep on going.
Yeah, they can. These things actually have heaters in them. That keep the roads thawed. Mm-hmm. You don't have all of that overhead from truck racks and snow plows, and so it begins to pay for itself very quickly.
Yeah.
Okay. Now think about all the roads in the state of Jefferson. What kind of economy would that create replacing those?
Yeah.
With these solar roadways. And the cost offsets to the state because we would be able to sell our resource of power.
There you go.
To a starved Southern California. See, it's thinking like this that I believe will drive the green economy. It's the capitalist, hey, I can make money off of that, mm-hmm. that'll do it.
Yeah.
You know, other things that we can do, we're going to get into another break here real quick. And one of the other ones that I wanted to touch on is education. Mm-hmm. What could we do with state of Jefferson education? Number one, get rid of Common Core. But that's a whole other argument on itself. Let's go ahead and slip off to our break and then come back, and we'll talk about some of the ideas that we've heard for education, because we've heard some really good ones.
Yes.
Together at the sky fall.
Thanks to citizens like you and your contributions to StandAndFightClubInc.com, January 30th and 31st, the first steps were taken to push back the California Air Resource Board and their regulations that are devastating the California economy. But now is not the time to give up the fight. Now is time to double down. Go to StandAndFightClubInc.com and you keep the contributions going and we'll keep the punches coming.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
Hello, folks. I'm here with our local hero, Bob the Drop from Mount Shasta Springwater. Bob, I want to thank you for all the support and good things that Mount Shasta Springwater does for our local communities.
You are welcome. And rest assured, we will continue to support our local friends and supply them with the best spring water in the world.
How can people get your great-tasting spring water, Bob?
Just call us at 1-800-922-6227.
That's 1-800-922-6227?
Yes, for the healthiest, best-tasting spring water in the world.
Summer is here and it's time to enjoy the great outdoors. Whether you're headed to the lake, Bernie Falls, going fishing, or throwing a barbecue, Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop for summer fun. Stop by the meat department for the best prices around and try our own country sausage made in-store. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 drinks to choose from, and we barbecue every Friday all summer long. So take up a tri-tip, rack of ribs, barbecue chicken, or a Polish dog. Stop by the deli for fried chicken or a sandwich made just the way you like it. We are a locally owned and operated family company at 299 and Deschutes in Bella Vista. Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
Hello, my name is Dick Fighton and I'm president of Shasta Country MOA. Military Officers Association of America is a national organization with approximately 380,000 members. Our membership consists of military officers from all branches of the military. The purpose of MOA is to lobby Congress to maintain our military levels, protect our pay for our active duty personnel, benefits for active duty personnel, pay and benefits for retired personnel. They also support VA clinics and hospitals and many more issues too numerous to mention here. I'm appealing to all military officers to join MOA to help preserve the military you knew. Our local chapter of MOA, Shasta Country MOA, is a group of dedicated officers who participate in our community by providing scholarships and serving on many local community boards and committees. Please call Dick Fighton, 530-945-7975.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
They're whispering his name through this disappearing land, but hidden in his coat is a red right hand. Respect, you feel like an insect. Well, don't you worry, buddy, cause here he comes through the ghettos and the barrio and the bowery and the slum. His shadow is cast wherever he stands. Stacks of green paper in his red right hand.
Sounds about right, huh?
Yes, it does.
Government creeping through the ghetto and the barrio with stacks of green paper in his red right hand. And commies. So anyways, we're here and we're discussing what we think Jefferson could be. We're hoping to hear from some people and your ideas and what Jefferson means to you. Give us a call at 530-605-4567. Tell us your idea. Tell us what Jefferson means to you, what you think you could do with a new state, a actual free state with local government that has the power to help you instead of hamstring you.
Absolutely.
And one of the things we wanted to discuss was education. what could we do with education in a new state? And almost automatically, the first thing we hear is get rid of Common Core.
Yeah.
Well, we absolutely could.
Yep. It's done. Gone. Next. Gone. Go on to the next thing.
And how about we have the ability as a local community and a local government to design the curriculum for the local schools for what they need. Perhaps somebody like Del Norte County would want a marine diesel technology class at their high school. Whereas Shasta County, maybe we need something more pointed towards ranching or foresting.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so that you could actually tailor the education for your population and for the people that you have. I mean, what an amazing concept.
It'd be a great idea.
You know, instead of holding kids liable to a one-size-fits-all test, how about we actually grant our teachers the ability to decide whether or not their student has absorbed and understands what they need to understand to pass on to the next level of education?
Versus just passing them on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Versus just passing them on or assessing them through a one-form test. Some people don't test well.
Right.
Some people could sit there and tell you written form of the whole thing, but put a test in front of them and forget it.
Right.
So how about we actually trust our teachers?
Yeah. That'd be a concept. they're the ones on the front lines with the guys, you know, yeah. the students doing everything that they do.
They should be more than capable of assessing, yes, Johnny has learned what he needs to know to go to the third grade.
Yeah.
You know, no, I'm sorry, Susie hasn't figured it out, you know. So, all right. Well, we've got Chris from Cottonwood on the line. You there, Chris?
I am there.
All right. What's your vision for Jefferson?
Well, one of my visions is, you know, hunting and fishing. I think about that as an avid outdoors guy myself, and I used to be an avid hunter. I'm starting to lose my passion a little bit now because of the, you know, the game situation and the wood situation in general. But as good as Steve Barrett is, I don't know if he could have possibly figured out, you know, it's such a complicated issue, but I don't know if anybody's ever figured out how much extra revenue would be brought into Jefferson State from out-of-state hunting license. You know, most of them from Bay Area and San Jose, Sacramento, Los Angeles. But, you know, I've thought about that where we could control our woods, control our game populations, bring back mountain lion season, bring back their hunting with dogs, you know, have private land management programs. I mean, right now the woods are just full of hunters and there's no game. The only game is found on private, you know, ranches for the most part. It's just, you know, it's just a mess. And I think, you know, boy, wouldn't it be nice if we were managing that the wildlife the way it should be. And, you know, the hunters that are full in the woods, you know, if some of those guys are paying twice as much or three times as much for a license, you know, probably be a few less of them. And on the other hand, the ones that we did see that were here, we know that they paid their extra fair share that we could use to that money to help manage the game.
Okay, then I think the same could be said for fishing.
And fishing is the same way, yes.
Yeah.
And my thing is growing up in the woods is I don't think that we're suffering from low game stock because of hunters. From what I grew up with and what I see today, I would say our forests are very unhealthy. And that's from mismanagement.
Yeah, our forests are unhealthy, and our predator population is way past what it should be. We don't control the predators, including the bears and the mountain lions. And you're right, the forests are very unhealthy. I mean, there's huge miles stretches of timber that there's no sense in even walking through if you could walk through them. That there's nothing in there except dead trees waiting to be lit off as kindling to, you know, start these catastrophic forest fires. So. And then the few areas that you can hunt that, you know, are open enough or they're just so packed full of people, it's ridiculous. So,
yeah,
and there's not a hunter out there that would, you know, wants all the game animals gone, and myself included. I mean, I wouldn't even care if we closed, if I thought closing deer season for a year or two to get the population back would help things, I would be all for that. As an avid hunter, I would be willing to do that, but not until you get the predator population under control.
And there you go with mismanagement, because there was a time that we have less hunters in the forests here in Northern California than we do now, and our game stocks are even lower. And like you said, the predator population has a lot to do with it, and the mismanagement of that. And, you know, the deer herds are gone. And as we were discussing at the beginning of the show, we were a lot better off before we started protecting everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
We need to protect it the right way.
All right, Chris, appreciate it. We got another call here. We got Molly from Reading. Are you there, Molly?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you.
So what's your idea for Jefferson?
About the bringing in the people that talk about the active stuff in the world, like the astrologers, the meteorologists, like the rangers, the gentleman is talking right now. You know, get the NASA scientists, you know, to come and speak to the kids. Open their brain, because right now it's gush.
Gray matter, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we used to do things like that. I remember
when we were kids, the important people used to come through the classroom. You know, not necessarily the policemen, the firemen, but you had the exciting people come through and get the energy going in these brains, you know, to say, hey, don't you want to be a geologist? Wouldn't you like to climb Mount Everest and do things like that, or go to the sky or learn about the stars?
Right.
Yeah. Dream. You know, and that's a really, really good example. When I was a little kid, I wanted to be an astronaut.
There you go.
That's what I wanted to be. And that was based off of, I got to meet an astronaut and see moon rocks in little old Hayfork Elementary in Trinity County. They actually had about four astronauts come through, and they had a collection of moon rocks and artifacts. And just talking about
it. That is so cool.
I was fascinated.
I mean, that's the driver. Not just this. I know Common Core is out. I mean, I hate that. But they're trying to get the children interested in worldly projects, you know, cause and effect and all that, which is great, but they do get that higher up. They get that in the college level. That they get that normally, you know, mm-hmm. when they go through college with finite math and learning the upper ends of the math with the calculus and trig and all that. But the energy, you got to get the energy started early.
Right.
Yeah.
And not every child is cut out to go to college either, and you have to think about
correct.
That.
So, that's correct.
You have to plan for those kids are going to be driving forces at doing other things that are going to be effective locally.
Yeah, technology classes, DC
mechanic
classes.
Then you wonder
classes.
How many children are going to graduate and stay close to the tree. You know, there's some that will probably never really leave, but the ones that have the energy, they're the ones that are going to do great for the North State.
Yeah.
Because they won't forget their roots.
That's right.
That's it. And they will be able to keep their roots here. They won't have to move somewhere else to be successful.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
And
thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye bye.
And a rising tide floats all boats.
There you go.
You know, and we did. We used to have very successful schools up here. I remember you couldn't drive anywhere. We used to go to other schools for basketball tournaments and stuff like that. You couldn't go anywhere in the North State and there wasn't a California Distinguished School flag out front. We had some of the finest schools in the entire state, in the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
What's happened?
Well, we've lost the revenue to the North State schools. Where did that revenue come from? Those evil, evil timber companies and their payment in lieu of taxes.
There you go.
You know, the school needed computers, bang, there they were.
Yep.
You know, the school needed a new gym floor, there it was.
Yep.
You know, you needed an expansion to your school because the community's growing, boom, here's a new building. And it wasn't one of these junky little portables.
Right.
It was, you know, the school needs a new roof. It was there. It was covered.
And they're still standing.
And they're still standing. You know?
Whereas those mobiles that they pull in, leave for 20 years, pull out, you know, get another one, what have you. Yeah.
And those are things that we've lost. And, again, we can get outside the box on education. Instead of turning our children into debt slaves with student loans and things like that, because I'm sorry, let's be honest about it. The college loans, they're predatory.
Yes, they are.
They are predatory by nature. They have jacked up the price of higher education so much they know nobody can afford it. You have to take these loans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're the only ones that are going to give you these loans because they know they're high-risk loans, and the interest rates on them are going to keep you indebted to the government for a good chunk of your life.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We have turned higher education into a tool of slavery.
Yep.
Okay? How do we break that and still educate our children?
It's all linked to the banking industry, if you look at it that way.
Well, Sovereign Minds, you know, will be on next.
Yeah, maybe Mark can rip that apart.
Yeah. So, but how do we do it and keep it affordable?
Yeah.
You know, one of the ideas that we heard is, how about you trade your higher education for giving back in government work. Okay, say you do 4 years of college, and then you do turn around and do 4 years at a government agency at a livable wage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then you trade it off, because if you take away all of the nonsense, you should be able to educate a student for about $7,000 a year. Okay, once you strip away all the tuition, this and all of that. Yet a government worker is an average of $67,000 a year plus benefits. So for a price of $7,000 a year, and then you add on a livable wage at about half price, you can have a government employee in an agency for 4 years that's going to come out with a college degree. So you're educating your children,
mm-hmm.
okay, at pennies on the dollar of what we are now. And we're saving our government agencies money because they're returning that work at about half price of what it would cost for a permanent employee.
There we go.
And you're getting the best and the brightest into your government because they're, you know, they're fresh out of college. They're raring to go. You're not going to get some dusty bureaucrat that's been there for 40 years and is just waiting to die in the saddle and doesn't care.
And you're also getting the student themselves are getting the work-life experience that they need to either stay in that same industry or move on.
Yeah.
And once they've gone through those programs, it's okay, they're going to be more accepted into other programs, if you will.
Yeah. And, you know, and I'm not saying that's the be-all, end-all, but it's an avenue that we could investigate and see if they succeed or not.
Right.
So, right. All right, we better scoot out here to our last break, and we'll be back to wrap her up.
Using junk science that wouldn't even meet the standards of a high school science fair, California Air Resources Board and the Environmental Protection Agency have written regulations that are devastating the California economy. They are costing people their jobs, their homes, their livelihoods, and their families. This must be stopped. Help us continue the fight against CARB. Go to standandfightclubinc.com now and contribute to keep the fight going.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
Candy is more than just a sweet treat. Don't miss your chance to learn why in Turtle Bay's exhibition, Sweet, A Tasty Journey. Sweet serves a healthy helping of brain food. Investigate California's farm-to-fork role in candy making. Stimulate all five senses with interactive activities. And learn about real-life Willy Wonkas in this fun and colorful exhibition. Sweet closes May 10th, so satisfy your sweet tooth before it's gone. Sweet is presented by Five Star Bank and Häagen-Dazs. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Whatever you're cooking smells good, Ma. Where's Dad?
I don't know. I think he's in the garage. Hey, tell him it's time for dinner.
Left step. Right step. Left step.
Nice heels, Dad. What are you doing?
I'm practicing for the walk a mile in her shoes.
What is that?
Every 90 seconds in this country, a woman is sexually assaulted. It's time for men like us to say no more. The Walk a Mile in Her Shoes is a call to men to educate and engage our community about a very serious subject to take action in preventing sexualized violence.
What can I do to help?
Every man should join us on Saturday, May 9th at 10 a.m. for the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes to benefit One Safe Place. Do like I did, son. Get a bunch of your friends together and visit the One Safe Place website at ospshasta.org and register for the walk. And here, I happen to have another pair of heels.
Left step, right step.
You guys make me so proud.
Please join the Walk a Mile chairman, Joe Comenti, and his family for the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event Saturday, May 9th in downtown Reading.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Yes, you can. so true. And it's not even necessarily just rednecks. We're an interesting breed up here. We're
eclectic.
We are. People got a little hippie in them. People got a little redneck, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yep.
And it mishmashes together to just form this amazing community and this amazing network of people that we have up here in the North State. I wouldn't trade it for anything, the people that live here.
Yeah, that's why we moved back here, to raise our kids.
Yeah.
Once the second one came, it's like, okay, we got to come home. So we did.
Yeah. And that's why it angers me and bothers me so greatly to watch such a great and amazing people getting stamped out for no good reason.
Yeah.
Than greed and fundamental misunderstanding of the way that things are. And, that's why Jefferson is so essential, because at the end of the day, I think Jefferson can be whatever anybody wants it to be. As a free state, it can be whatever you want it to be.
A lot of people are fearful of that.
They are.
They're scared. They know what they have with California, or they think they know what they think they have with California, and they think it's going to remain the same. It's not.
No.
It's clearly going to change. The ship is going down. So where do you want to be when the ship goes down? How about in that great little green and yellow dinghy that's floating out there? Yeah. It's called SOJA-51. Yeah. they need to think about that, because we have to be leaders in every capacity. And if not out in the community, at least in your own life, take a leadership role and do the right thing. Step up to the plate and let's lead. Let's lead forward and make this happen so we can let that go. Let what happens with California go. Yeah. Because if we don't, we're going to go down with it. And we're going to be casualties of California by folks that made the decisions not on our behalf. Yeah. And we're going to have to suffer the consequence. Whereas we can make decisions here, we can live with our decisions, and we can quickly amend our decisions if we need to in order to make things work in a small, controlled, more controlled environment of the state of Jefferson.
Yeah. I agree with everything you just said.
And what we need to do by that is get these darn signatures from everybody out there. So if you see somebody with a signature sheet, by gosh, do it. Or go to SOJ51.net, first page, top right-hand corner, hit the quill, mm-hmm. and do your electronic signature right there.
Yep. Or they can come and get signature sheets from you every Monday night.
Yep.
Right? And they can take those out to their friends and family and mail them in. That's been fairly successful so far.
It has. And we have a great group of people, a great little army, if you will, that are just kicking tail by going out and getting signatures. And some of them are doing outstanding. Some of them are retired, and that's what they do all day long. That's what they're doing. They're out knocking on doors or out in the parking lot of some kind of a business of some sort, and they're collecting signatures. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to get these signatures so we can send our declaration sheet down to Sacramento with this stack of signatures from Shasta County residents.
Mm-hmm. And you can take them anywhere. You can take them to your kid's Little League game. You can take them to a family dinner.
Yep.
You go to anything around. Carry one in your pocket. And, you got your SOJ hat on, and somebody goes, hey, that's a good idea. Whip it out of your pocket and go, here, sign here.
Yep. And then do you have no more folks here? Take a blank one and go get signatures.
Yeah.
And the beauty of it is, too, you don't have to be a registered voter. You don't have to be over 18. As long as you understand the concept of what Jefferson's about And believe it or not, there are some young folks, and when I say young, we're talking 9 and 10, that understand what State of Jefferson's all about because they cut it down to the basics. How does it affect them? Is it right or is it wrong? They understand that. They get it.
Yeah.
And guess what? We have signatures from some of those young folks because they get it, and they want to be part of history. They want to sign on the dotted line, so to speak, for their liberty. That's what they're after. They get it. They understand it. And then we run across some of these adults who are supposedly educated, and they fight it tooth and nail. They don't get it. They don't understand, and they're not willing to learn and listen. And so it just makes you shake your head. It's like, okay, well, that one's not going to happen. So you just, you know, move on to the next one. And so that's what we're after. We're after all the, you know, good thinking folks out there. Doesn't matter how old or how young you are.
Yeah. And if you're not sure if you're on the fence, find one of us and talk to us.
Yes.
Because I guarantee we'll get you off the fence one way or the other.
Yeah, we'll either push you off or pull you off, either way, however you want to look at it.
Absolutely true. And you guys are doing a fantastic job here in Shasta County. Things are rolling along very well for Jefferson. We've got a couple of counties that we're kind of in the mop-up phase. Mm-hmm. As you know, we're just kind of waiting for it all to happen. We've got everything done that needs to be done and kind of waiting it for it to happen. And I'm not going to mention who, but we just recently learned that we're going to get an old friend back into the fight.
Yep.
And
sweet.
Looking forward to seeing him and getting over there and causing some more trouble. And got a couple scores to settle.
There you go. in the name of liberty.
in the name of liberty.
Yes.
Yes. And, you know, there's always the possibility of just streaking right through downtown, too, going, Jefferson!
Yeah, you go for it.
Yeah, it's a little cold over there. But, yeah, no, great things are happening. And, you know, it's weird how Jefferson kind of goes in spurts because there is this process to it where you get a county interested and then you kind of get them engaged and then you spread the message until enough people are going, hey, this is it. This is the answer. This is what we have to do. And then you go through all of the process. And right about the time the media starts going, oh, finally, they've stalled out the State of Jefferson's, oh, 1, 2, 3 more counties.
Yeah, there you go. Amp it right back up. Well, that's because they're not in the loop. They elect not to be in the loop.
Well, they are in the loop for Keep It California.
They are.
They are.
Of course, yeah. They're supporting that, throwing money at it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and it makes you wonder, why would the media be opposed to a free state?
I don't get it.
You would think they would love it. They would flourish.
And they would be able to report.
Yeah.
Hello, something positive.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of interesting. And, you know, some of the ways that we've been indoctrinated and we don't even realize it. And some of the things that we go through. But good things are happening.
Yep.
And you know, a lot of the people have gone from, oh, that'll never happen, to, God, when is it going to happen?
When is it going to happen, yeah.
It's happening.
It is. And the thing is, we only have until roughly November for Shasta County to get all our signatures collected because we need to have everything, all the paperwork that is required done before we submit our declaration and go to legislation in February.
Mm-hmm.
So people need to understand that. There's a time element here that we are getting up against, and we cannot wait that long. We have to get everything done ASAP. So everybody, you know, please spread the word and, you know, get signature sheets, sign them up, go online. That's the easiest and best way to do it for a lot of folks. So if you could just do that, we'd really appreciate it.
Yeah. And online is one of the easiest, fastest ways to get those signatures done.
Yes.
Is absolutely go to SOJ51.net, go up to that little quill and click on it. Make your little brother do it. Make your grandma do it. Make everybody in your family. I don't know if we're accepting signatures from pets. Fluffy wants freedom too.
Freedom for your critters. There you go.
But yeah, and we're going to keep hammering away, and let's get Shasta County on board. Because the window is closing, and we're almost to the fun part of this.
Yes.
You know, the hard work's almost done, and we're getting to the, all right, let's sit back with our box of popcorn and watch.
There you go.
So, all right, Jefferson, thank you, Wynn, for being here. It's always a great show when you're here.
Happy to be here.
So, and we will see you next week. And till then, keep the sunny side up, Jefferson.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Help is flooding into Nepal today in the wake of Saturday's killer earthquake.
I know there's 14 international medical teams on the way, and there's either 14 or 15 international search and rescue teams on the way. They need to get in as soon as possible. They will use military aircraft to get them into Nepal.
United Nations spokesman Orla Fagan, the death toll from the 7.8 magnitude quake is more than 2,500 now and feared to go higher. Many of the areas hardest hit are the hardest to reach. The Senate will resume consideration of Iran legislation this week. We get a preview on that from SRN's Linda Kenyon on Capitol Hill.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he expects what he calls vigorous debate on the bill. The legislation gives Congress the right to review any nuclear deal that may be struck with Iran. Senator McConnell says he hopes the Senate will approve the bill.
After all, preventing the world's foremost